Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning.
I'm sorry, but I did not hear you press at least 4 digits of your PIN number.
Welcome to the love journey. I'm not sure what's going on this morning, but I tell you, life is good.
Thank you for using Blog Talk Radio. Goodbye.
All right. Oh, no.
How they should pray. I wasn't there, but I can't imagine that they may have sound something like this. How should we pray? Here's what the Lord told them.
Thank you so much. God bless your heart.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. You tuned in to The Love Journey, and I'm super excited about what we have here as a community. I am Janine Ingram, and we're about to move into our prayer, thanking God for this opportunity to come together in one mind and one spirit, recognizing that at the end of the day, love is all there is. So let's just get ready and breathe, family. Sometimes we forget to breathe. Sometimes we just forget to stop and bring that breath into life. In this right now moment, I want you to tune in to the power of breath. I want you to breathe in through your nose. Hold it to the point of vibration. Hold it to the count of eight and then release through the mouth, remembering to breathe deep into the diaphragm, deep into the heart. I want you to breathe, family. I want you to breathe as you become still and know that I am God. Just be still and know that I am God. Breathe, family. Let's pray. And release. Be still and know that I am that. I am God. Breathe, family, breathe. And release. I want you to breathe, family. Sometimes we forget to breathe. Let's breathe. And release. And last time, remember to breathe and breathe deep into the diaphragm. Let's breathe. And let's release. Just breathe, family. Just breathe. Divine Mother, Father, God. Precious and Holy Spirit. I come, Holy Spirit. Speaking from the transcending power of the center of my being. Come, Holy Spirit. I ask, Holy Spirit, as I speak these words, that every word of my mouth, Holy Spirit, every meditation of my heart, all will be so acceptable in this right now moment. Come, Holy Spirit. And infuse this prayer with your words, Holy Spirit. Infuse this prayer with your love, God. Recognizing that in this one mind and one spirit, that you are in the midst of it all, God. Come, Holy Spirit, and let my thoughts be your thoughts this morning, Holy Spirit. Let my words be your words, God. And as I come empty this morning, in this right now moment, that I may speak all of the words that will come from my higher myself, that these words will be your words as I communicate from the spirit of my higher mind, I am God, God is consciousness, God. I just thank you in this right now moment, God, for this opportunity, this love, this energy. Recognizing that in this space, in this oneness, we can call forth the presence, the energy, with so much gratitude in our heart, God. Thanking you for the love journey. Thanking you for the opportunity to expand and to grow. And that your words, your message, the message from our soul can be conveyed in this prayer, in this lesson, in this conversation on this day, God. Asking you this morning, God. Somebody came with the mind to be blessed, God. Somebody came this morning with a heart. And so as we recognize the divine presence of our higher God being, knowing at the center of our mind, we're asking you to activate all the forces in us, in the mind of powerful name, nature, and consciousness of our brother Christ Jesus. As we recognize that our mind is part of the infinite mind of God, and therefore we declare before the God of our being, as we pray in this right now moment, ask for the courage, the strength, and the clarity to do the will of our soul in this right now moment, God. Asking you to cleanse our mind right now, God. Asking you to remove any information, any data, any pattern, anything that is in the mind that is no longer serving to the higher purpose, God. Asking you to cleanse, God, our bodies this morning, God. Asking you to remove everything from our muscle fiber, from the organs, God, from every cell, God, from every part of us that is no longer serving a higher purpose. God, I'm asking you to come, Holy Spirit, and cleanse the very essence of our soul, God. I'm asking you to come right now as we speak, as I speak now to the God of our being. You know, God, what we have a desire even before we ask. You are the ruling power of this universe, and we recognize that you are the ruling power over everything in our life. Lead us in this right now moment. Come higher, my presence. Guide us right now, God. Direct us right now, God, for we are open to receive all that is in store for us this morning. Oh, within the God power within us, knowing that the greater presence is right here in us, as us, all around us, never outside of us. And so as we give thanks to the power of the being of our mind, for the higher mind presence, for the power of self-mastery, in this absolute right now moment, we say thank you, God. As we call forth the anointing, God, the anointing over our life, God, as we thank you this morning for all that you have for us, God. Oh, divine Mother, Father, God, I'm calling forth our greatness today, God. Give us the courage to stand in our greatness, to live our life out loud, God, to do what the will of the presence of our abundant life came to do, God. Let us stand in our greatness today, God. Oh, as you open up your windows, your gates, your doors, your heaven, and pour out a blessing upon our life today, God. Oh, Father God, as I ask you to anoint our life today, God, to anoint our hands today, God, to anoint our bodies today, God, to anoint our hands that everything we touch, God, will turn to platinum gold. God, I'm asking you to anoint our feet, God, that everything and everywhere we tread, our feet shall be upon your holy ground, God. I'm asking you to anoint our marriages today, God. I'm asking you to come and touch and renew the spirit in our relationships today, God. I'm asking you to come and bring renewed relationships. I'm asking you to come and bring new love interests, God. Oh, Holy Spirit, I'm asking you to come and open up your windows, your gates, your doors, your heaven, and pour out a profuse winds of a money substance in our life in this right now moment, God. Oh, I'm asking for a blessing. I'm asking for supernatural explosive favor over our life, God. Supernatural explosive blessings, God. Oh, Holy Spirit, I'm asking you to come and thrust us into that place of blessing, God. I'm asking you to come, God, and do your stuff over this line today, God. Somebody, Holy Spirit, somebody today, God, need a blessing, God. I'm asking you to bless Peggy today, God. Continue to bless her body, God. Continue to bless her every essence and cell that is in her body today, God. I'm asking for you to come into that hospital room and touch everything in that room, God, oh, that she may feel your presence today, God. Oh, Holy Spirit, I'm asking you to bless her family and bless everybody that's looking upon her, God. All her friends today, God. Oh, Holy Spirit, I'm asking you to open up the doors, the windows, the gates of your heavens, God. And pour out a blessing on this love journey, God. Expand its territory and reach, God. And let every show and every time we open up the lines, let this be your platform for where your love can be felt and known. And shine, God. May your message in this platform be used as a way to get to know you even more intimately. And so in this right now moment, God, I just say amen, God, for this. I say amen, God, for this opportunity. I say amen, God. Thank you for the love journey. Thank you for this platform. Thank you for letting this platform be used for your love to be conveyed to your people, Holy Spirit. Thank you for each and every person who show up on the line, God. Thank you for the many people who come each and every day to hear, to share, to do whatever, however they decide, God. I just want to say thank you, God. I just want to say thank you, God. I just want to say thank you for this fresh anointing. Thank you, God, for a fresh revelation, God. Thank you for new wineskins, God. And I even thank you for when I don't even know that you have saved them. Thank you for even when we don't even know that what could have happened, you kept us from it. Thank you, God. Thank you for keeping our children in the palm of your hand, God. Thank you for reminding us that no matter what roles they decide to take, that the seed don't fall too far from the tree. Thank you, God, for a mindset to be reminded that our children are our gift, God. And so in this right now moment, God, I ask you to infuse each and every one of our seeds this morning with the reminder of your love, God, to infuse them that they're mighty in the land, God, and that they will grow into the mighty presence of who you called them to the planet to be, God. I'm asking you to renew their mind right now, God. Give us eyes not to judge their experience, God. Give us love to know when to speak your words and infuse your energy into them, God. Oh, Holy Spirit, direct us as we take the gifts that you have given us as your children, that you have loaned us to help guide, God. And let us see in them as the gift of awakening ourselves. I say amen, God. And so it is. Oh, good morning. Good morning, Holy Spirit. Good morning, God. Good morning. To the birds, the bees, the flowers, the trees, the sun, the moon, the stars, the clouds. Good morning to the rain, God, the snow. Good morning to the earth, the wind, the fire, the water, the ethers. Good morning, universe. Good morning to the most beneficent angelic family. Good morning, angels, as we invite and invoke your presence. Good morning, angels. Good morning, archangels, as we invite and invoke your presence into this call. Good morning, archangels. Good morning, ascended masters, as we invite and invoke your presence. Good morning to the spirit guides and master guides, as we invite and invoke the master guides. Just thank you, God, for the unseen presence and committee, our spiritual committee that's always cheering us on. Good morning to our ancestors, as we take a minute to speak the name of those ancestors who have walked the journey before us and left a legacy called us, who left the race of us, who done so much to change the climate and community and the culture of our people. Thank you, ancestors. And to those known and unknown ancestors, we send absolute love to you this morning. Good morning, Ms. Anastasia McAdoo, Mama Colette, Nisha Scott. Good morning to our ancestors as we invite and invoke the ancestors into this call this morning. Good morning, ancestors. Good morning, ancestors. Good morning to your presence. And good morning to my absolute favorite community in the whole wide world. And that's you, family. Good morning, love, journey, family. Peace, peace to the gods and goddesses. Love, love to the kings and queens, my millionaires and billionaires, my authors, entrepreneurs, radio hosts, and all the areas that you are bringing your gifts and standing in your purpose, allowing yourself to stand and live your life out loud. I am absolutely proud to watch you, family, stand in your shine. What a great day. And I just want to say good morning, as the love in me greets and honor the love in each and every one of you. As the God goddess in me greets and honor the God goddess in you, the light in me greets and honor you this morning. Good morning, love, journey, family. I am Janine and Ingram. They call this a prayer line. And I absolutely want to remind you, I believe it's an experience. Welcome to the love journey experience. It's a love experience. An absolute love experience. It's a love thing, baby. It simply is a love thing. I absolutely love and adore the opportunity that we get to share each morning. And today, family, we're going to talk about setbacks. Yes, what are setbacks and why do they show up? And we're going to talk about what to do when setbacks show up. Why are you here? going to simply talk about the beauty of the universe and how amazing God created this universe, and that it's always moving to assist us into that greater version. But sometimes it's that doggone resistance, family. That doggone resistance. All right, we're going to get started with a song. I'm going to play, you know what, I want to play Testify by Diane Reeves. It's been a minute since I heard it. You know, sometimes I wake up with a song in my heart. And this just reminds me of sometimes how we need to look at life, embracing ourselves, loving ourselves, even when life is not showing up the way we want it to show up. So you tuned in right here to The Love Journey. I am Janine Ann Ingram, and this is Diane Reeves.
I think that there's a time in your life when you realize that whatever it is that is eating you, whatever it is that you're running from, whatever it is that you're afraid of, you just have to stop, take a deep breath, turn around, and face it. Face it. Stick your arms out as wide as you can and embrace it. Hold on real tight. You see, the tighter hold you hold on to it, the smaller it gets. And you just embrace it and embrace it until you find yourself embracing yourself. Then you can move on with peace of mind and all that stuff. Just leave it behind. Sometimes you won't understand why life is the way it is. Things don't always go the way you planned them, but I believe God and time are synonymous, and through time God reveals all things. You gotta be still, stand in love, and pay attention.
Sweet the journey when you learn
amazing grace as your constant friend. Say, I am free of anger, I am free of fear, and my mind is at ease. I don't regret a single yesterday, cause yesterday made me who I am today. Yeah, I just want to testify, my mind is strong. I just got to testify, I can see. I just want to testify, amazing grace saved my life. I got to testify,
testify.
Oh, got to tell my story.
Good morning. You tuned in to The Love Journey, and I am Janine Ann Ingram. Yes, and that was Diane Reeves, Testify, right here on The Love Journey. Yes, again, I want to remind you that I am Janine Ann Ingram, author of Born to Be Rich, master speaker, yes, transformational life coach, vision board counselor. Oh, and your radio host, yes, 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 filmmaker as well. And I just want to let you know that I'm having a vision board, yes, vision board class on September 21st, right here in Chicago, 74th and Vincennes, 7453 South Vincennes, Kids Are Us Learning Center. And that's going to be 1 o'clock right here in Chicago, vision boards. Yeah, we're going to talk about the science of vision board, how to activate your vision. So many of us cut paper pictures and put them on the vision boards, and a lot of us are not creating the life we desire. And we're going to talk about some of that on this Saturday. Why are we not creating the life we desire? Yes. All right. But today we're going to talk about setbacks. I read this article by Maston. He said, I remember in my early days I had so many ideas, so many dreams, so many wishes that I wanted to come true. I had 1,000 ideas and nothing to show for it. But deep down, I was angry because I knew I had something that I could give to the world. And not just one thing, but lots of things, teachings, inspirations, stories, experiences, love, ideas, innovations, and connections. These are the ideas that boiled within me, but nothing would come through. It was like I was creatively clogged up. I can remember living in a neighborhood east of Hollywood, California. It was a spot full of all kind of artists, visual artists, musicians, designers. And my business partner was a designer and musician. I envied his ability to create when I was too scared. We made a great team because I was so good at the business side, and he absolutely rocked the creative side. But see, my life came crashing down, and it forced me to make a choice. It forced me to embrace my own creativity or die. And I think in the end, that is why life fell apart. My soul wanted to create, but I wasn't taking action on that deep desire. And when we don't take action, and when our soul longing to create enters crisis, a.k.a. a divine storm. You see, it all came crashing down. Who would have thought that just a few years later it would all come back more? Not by my efforts, though. Not by the efforts of someone else's creativity, but simply by my own listening to my own soul. You see, there was a time in my life when I would have said, oh, I'm not creative. I'm not a writer. I'm not a storyteller. Oh, no, I'm not an entrepreneur. But the truth is that I am. Simply, I am. And I was scared to death to admit it. Not being able to admit it ruined my life for a period of time. You see, life brought me down to my knees so that I got a chance to wake up to an undeveloped part of myself that was dormant. An unexpressed artist is a sad and angry sight, but I got a chance to express and turn it all around. It wasn't easy. It wasn't pretty, but it was by the grace of the divine that I was able to make it happen. So today, are you an unexpressed artist? Are you holding back? Are you scared to death to be creative? Are you really ready to admit today that you're ready to live your life out loud? But what is it going to take to get from where you are today to where you want to be, which is to live your life truly out loud? You know, yesterday I was watching some material put out on wealth mastery and wealth creation. Tony Robbins told a story of a guy who worked most of his life and accrued $500 million in net worth. Yeah, I'm talking $500 million, family. Not bad. Well, this guy at 63 years of age had invested all of his $500 million into a company that for a while did amazing and then it tanked, leaving this man in debt by $100 million. So he went from positive $500 million to a negative $100 million, a $600 million loss at the age of 63. Now, most people would not be able to survive this kind of financial swing, but not this guy. This guy decided he still has time left in his life. He was able to turn around, and it goes back to doing what he knows best. He convinced some folks to invest in a new company, and in 3 years, applying all that he learned, he created a business with worth a billion bucks. Yeah. You see, Tony makes the point that the turning point for this man wasn't what he knew or how to do or the mechanics of how to get out of debt. What separated this man was his psychology, his mindset. When he was down $100 million in debt, wasn't to feel bad for himself or to focus on the fact that he lost everything he spent in his life building. This man had the mindset that the future is going to be better than the past. And that mindset carried him through an extremely tough challenge in his 60s. And with hard work and luck, this man came out on top. You see, Tony was the first person to suggest that success is 80% psychology and 20% mechanics. You see, success is pretty much a mindset. Success is 80% mindset, 20% application of what you know. You see, Maston talks about going through a setback in his business. He said, I've been a little bummed out about it for the past week or so, and I found myself stepping back into that victim mode. I want to blame someone else. I also was feeling defeated that something I've been working very hard on for 4 months might not come through, but my mentor always standing right there kicking my butt and reminding me that success is 80% mindset and that when things don't turn out the way you want them to, it's up to you to see a compelling future and to redouble our effort. You see, on a path, on the journey, everything isn't going to go according to our plan. It just can't. There's no way for us to know how things will go. But when we keep a mindset that says, I got this, I will win, and that future will be better than the present, we begin to master our lives. It's important, as I'm being reminded of again, to keep this mindset, not just during the good times. It's needed most when things don't pan out the way that you want them to. Sometimes we feel a little defeated. But you got to get committed to getting clear about your goals again. You got to be committed to the commitment. You got to be committed to yourself enough to say, no matter what, I'm pushing forward. I'm focusing on this awesome
future that I'm continuing to create, and then working even more to make more and allow my dreams and goals to flow through me, all the while surrendering the outcome, knowing that the universe is friendly to our desires. Who most likely has something even better in mind for us? No, just the universe is always reminding us that it loves us. And so is this particular setback a setup for our success? How will you choose to interpret the events and the results that are happening right now? What future are you creating for yourself? What are you doing right now to live your life out loud? Because really, when we think about it, setbacks are really set up for a big comeback. A lot of people tend to think when they are pursuing their dreams that when things aren't going their way or what they want, or the way they plan, that they should give up. I get a lot of my clients who want to give up when things get a little tough. I see a lot of you all when it get a little tough, or when you, that's the time when you need to push through. You see, it's interesting to me to see how easy it is for people to believe the negative voice in your head. It's so much more easier to believe in the negative, far more than the positive or the neutral voices or the things that are saying to you that you are absolutely amazing. Why is it so easy to believe your own negative self-talk? It's almost like we're afraid of getting our heart broken by our dreams not coming true, that any sign of setback, any sign of letdown or unmet expectations are an excuse to stop trying. I see people give up the idea of moving along. Even, you know, just think, if I gave up the love journey because somebody didn't show up or enough people didn't show up or this or my expectation was unmet. You see, our dreams are for us to live ourselves out loud, for us to grow, stretch. And by the way, those around will get blessed just simply being in our path. But see, the thing is, walking on the path will very rarely ever meet your expectations. The truth is, the universe speaks in very paradoxical language. What looks big is usually small. What looks scary is usually joyful. What seems impossible is very much achievable. And what seems hard will be so easy. It's just being able to understand that paradoxical nature of how the universe operates, as well as having the emotional fitness and humility not to have to buy into the thought that everything has to be the way you think it should be. Why are you married to this one idea of how it should look? Stop judging the situation as bad, as a setback or a quitting point. Look at it this way. See it as grace. You see, you have no idea how protected, guided, and looked after you are. When you look back at the moments in a few weeks, months, or years, you very well will look back and see a blessing instead of a setback. Today, train your mind to refrain from judging a situation. Believe in grace. Instead of running away from your dreams, just sit with the uncomfortable feeling. Meditate. Take care of yourself and let it pass through you. Let me say that again. Sit with the uncomfortable feeling. Why am I uncomfortable when I have to stand on the stage in front of people? Really? Today I still feel, even though I've done it more and more and more, I've come to feel less uncomfortable with the idea. But I still, when I have to stand in front of, I get uncomfortable. Do not run away because it's uncomfortable. Stay because it is uncomfortable. Let your fears be purified by facing them. Let your judgments fade by not reacting to them. Seeing how they play out over time, humble yourself and know that things don't have to go your way for you to be happy. There could be a way that is being guided from the universe that is much greater than you could ever ask, think, or imagine. You see, emotional fitness, humility, and a grace-filled mind will take you where you need to go. Let go of the judgment. Let go of the expectations and show up fully. Yes, show up fully present with whatever you're feeling today, but do not turn back. Stay in the fire. You are not being burned. You are being purified. If you are in the fire, you are not being burned. You are being purified. Let me say that again. If you're in the fire, remember you are not being burned. The universe won't even let you be burned. You are being purified. From setback, a setup for big comeback. You may be in a divine storm. You might be in what I call our grace period. My girlfriend called me yesterday and said, Janine, would you go to court with me? She's in the process of foreclosure, right? So I sat in the courtroom and watched all the people go before the judges, praying and blessing the fact that maybe they'll be able to keep their homes. Maybe some kind of miracle will happen to each and every one of their lives. I remember the fear that they displayed in their body, the tenseness. Even my girlfriend, I mean, her body was so tense. I had to keep reminding her just breathe, to breathe, to breathe, to breathe, to breathe. She was shallow breathing. And I could see the fear, the tense, all lodged in every cell in her body. And I said, baby, we need to go get you a massage right now. And so her husband is in the hospital doing some dialysis work, and she hadn't ate a thing all day. I said, well, baby, we need to get you something to eat. We need to get you, you know, a massage. We need to get something to release this tension. You got a headache now. And she was so adamant about going to get her husband from the hospital. I said, anybody can go get him. But you, right now, can you take care of you? And so what I saw was her in this midst of all these things, that she had to take care of everything. She hadn't, but the only thing that she wasn't taking care of was herself. And I wanted to sit her down so bad, but she was so caught up in everything she had to do. We got to run and do. We hadn't ate since we had been downtown. Now, you know, I got to get me something to eat. I got to go to the bathroom. She was holding her. She hadn't went to the bathroom. Just all kind of stuff. And I just wonder why we take care of everything and everybody but ourselves, and then we wonder why we're in foreclosure, why our relationships are out of order. Why everything is doing what it's doing. Because, see, the universe shows up how you treat yourself. She in that chaotic situation because she was so chaotic. And I just wanted to say, babe. And I did say it, but she didn't hear me. Well, what is the massage going to do right now? I ain't got time for all that, Janine. You the one got time for all that. She fussing and up there with me. Now, she asked me to come go with her. Now she mad because I'm trying to help her. But, you know, I was okay. I didn't care she was mad. But I just prayed for her last night. And I just want to say, I know a lot of you all are doing the same thing. You wonder why your relationship out of order. Yeah, you may be in foreclosure too. Or you can't get out what you need to get out because you're in such a chaotic state in your own self. You're not even putting yourself on your own to-do list. She's making sure somebody else got to eat, but she ain't ate nothing all day, got a headache, stressed out, and running from one end of town to the other. I know that you feel like when everything is turned all inside out that you got to be busy. But have you ever thought that maybe everything is all turned inside out for you to sit still? I think the biggest takeaway from yesterday, even though I've heard about silence is God's canvas of creation. Sometimes, family, we just need to get still and know that I am God. And you know what came up for me when I got still and came home, I said, why do we feel that we have to be busy when we're in an uproar, when everything, you have to be busy? And that's because we don't really understand. We don't really understand the power of the universe. We don't understand the presence of God, the eternal loving presence, because we don't trust that the universe really will take care of it if we don't do nothing. And when I mean nothing, I don't mean if you're directed by spirit to do something, not to do it. But sometimes you got to get in the space of regrouping. And in order to regroup, sometimes you just got to get still and do nothing. People say, Janine, you, my friends say, girl, you must got 9 lives. I don't care what happened, you always victorious. I said, baby, because when it's in the uproar and everything out of order, I know I got to get still. Baby, I will sit in this room with the lights off and just get still and say, show me. Reveal to me what I must do to be victorious in this situation. Because I know there's not a situation, I don't care if it's foreclosure. Just like I tell you, when I owed $50,000 to the IRS, now I had been laid off. I thought, wow, I had this amazing accountant. And my accountant moved and I get another accountant, and oh my God, somehow I get in an IRS mess. The one thing that I never wanted to do. I never wanted to be an IRS. So I never wanted to cheat the IRS. I never wanted to do anything wrong. Don't give me no extra money. Just do what you got to do so I don't have to face the IRS. Well, guess what? I get to face the IRS when I absolutely had nothing to pay the IRS. Not when I was working a job. I get audited, and next thing you know, I owe $50,000. And I'm like, what the blah, blah, blah happened here? Now, God, you know I don't play no games. You know I like to do everything right. But let me tell you what I learned in that situation. You see, sometimes we turn our whole power over to what's supposed to be the expert, doctors, lawyers, accountants, tax preparations. And guess what? I was so used to my other accountant, I just signed the papers and I did. But this time, I did the same thing with a new accountant and did not really look at what was being done, because I was just used to signing my documents and sending them in. So now, when they audit me, I don't have no receipts and all that stuff. That's why I don't do that, because I don't want to play no games with the IRS, right? But now I owe the IRS $50,000. A couple of reasons. One, because I was working for a nonprofit agency at that time, and they turned our company from a W-2 into a 1099, and you're supposed to pay every quarter. And I wasn't familiar with the process, because I had always been a W-2 employee. So just a lot of things affected why I ended up owing the IRS. And I was in simple fear. Oh, and I remember I was tense and I was aggravated. Every time the IRS would call, I was, and every time I had to go downtown and deal with the IRS, it was just a mess in my mind. And I remember my auntie calling me from Texas. She dealt with taxes. She said, it's not as bad as you think it is. She said, the one thing about the IRS is half the people that you're going to be talking to don't know the law. She said, the thing about the IRS, you have to know the law for every year, and every year it changes. She said, if you just sit down and read, well, I didn't want to read all that stuff. She said, if you just read it, you'll win. And I kept resisting the idea to read it. So one day I sit with some papers and I start to read. Now, I didn't do it the way she told me to do it, which it probably would have been, if I had did it her way a long time, I had an even better outcome. But let me tell you what happened. I started to read the papers, and I saw these three little companies in Chicago that they give, like, high-profile pro bono attorneys for people who owe tax. And they just started this tax clinic in at this time with the Loyola School. So I called and tell them my situation. They said, okay, we're going to put you on the list. We just opened up, and so we're going to call you back and let you know if we're going to take you as a candidate. Well, of course, they did. And to make a long story short, I got one of the most phenomenal pro bono attorneys. His name was Brad Gabriel. But once I saw his name, Gabriel, I knew, you know, the angel's name, I knew God had sent it. But what am I saying? I had to get still. Even in the uproar and all of that stuff, I had been laid off from work. I wasn't used to not working, and I didn't know how I was going to magnetize all the money for the things that I needed to pay. And so I was physically in this energy that kept me in uproar. And then I was talking to the lady who owned our company, and because our company had been closed, she was scared too. So stop listening to her every day and being upset and all the stuff she was saying. I had to stop total communication with her because she kept me in fear. She kept me feeling anxiety. And so I had to stop my communication until I was strong enough to know that no matter what the seemingly appearances are, God got me. You see, I had to realize, I had to get back to myself and realize that God was bigger than IRS. That God was bigger than any layoff and any contract that I wasn't going to get anymore, and any way that I showed up with a six-figure income and now I didn't have any income, that I knew. I had to get back to my knowing. I had to get back to trusting, even in the process of the unknown. I never forget, I was like, God, I was in my meditation, and I said, what is faith, God? What does it mean to really have true faith? I don't know if I know how to do it, God. And God told me, I'll never forget the definition that God gave me for faith. Trusting in the process of the unknown. It really hit me like a ton of bricks. If I really wanted to show and exhibit faith, I had to trust that even in the process of unknown, even not knowing what my next step, not knowing what the next step was going to be, not knowing what was in front of me, that I had to trust. And that was my beginning of real trust. See, when I was working and making six figures, it was easy to get on this phone and do our affirmation at the time. God is the source of my unlimited supply. Everything and everybody prospers me now. Ooh, God is the source of my unlimited supply. Everything and everybody prospers me now. I mean, it was so cold that we even made a song. I had somebody commission a song about it. God is the source of my unlimited supply. Everything and everybody prospers me now. And I will never forget the day I was laid off from my job. And God said, I thought you said I was your source and supply. Why are you laying in that bed upset and in fear? I said, because I don't know how I'm going to pay. Well, you weren't never paying it in the first place. I was your source when you had a job. I'm going to be your source when you don't have a job. And even though it was easy for me to talk about it, now I had to get up out that bed, but it wasn't easy. I had to do it one little step at a time. Okay, God, the IRS, I got to pay the bill, God. Okay, God, my ML350 Mercedes car note due. Okay, God. The insurance is due. Okay, God, I had to trust that even when I couldn't see how, that God was going to make it work. Even when I didn't know, God was going to make it work. And I had to get up on this line and smile even when I didn't feel like smiling. Even when I wanted to just smack the universe in his face and say, why? I'm tired now. I had to get up on this prayer line. God said, get up. But God, I don't have no energy. I can't do it, God. Get up. It's time to get on the prayer line. And I tell you, every time I got up and every time I prayed the prayer and every time I came on, I got a little stronger. And by the time I get off the line, I was a little bit stronger. Now, I had to work through all of that process and even my own fears of getting on here speaking when I didn't even know what I was going to say. God, I don't know what I'm going to say. I don't know what to say to the people today, God. I think it's time for me to stop. God said, it ain't time yet. See, I tried to negotiate a lot of times with God. But it was in my obedience, even though I was negotiating, even though I was in fear, even though I was in tense, even though I didn't understand. And I was like, well, how am I going to get up here and talk about how good you are when I'm in IRS debt and all this other stuff that's going on, God? How am I going to talk about your goodness when I can't even see it in my own life? Just do it anyway. Sometimes I didn't even know how I was going to get on this line. Sometimes I didn't even know how I was going to say what I was going to say. Sometimes I didn't even know what to say. Sometimes I just wanted to say, y'all, I don't know. I don't even know what I'm telling y'all is the truth. I just don't know. I just wanted to do something. But I simply just said, God, if you just use me, even when I don't know how, even if you just use my voice, even when I can't speak, God, if you just be the wind beneath my wings, God, and you do what you got to do, I'll do it, God. Even if I don't trust and believe yet, if you just do it, God, I'll do it. And sometimes when we're commissioned to do something, whether it's write a book, stand in front of people, start a new business, whatever it is that we're being asked to do, create plays, whatever the gift that we're being asked to do that our heart longs to do, sometimes we are going to be in a fire. A fire that is purifying us but never will burn us. A fire that is taking away all the stuff that we no longer need or desire to have in order to grow into that next level. And it is not going to always be easy. I'm not going to tell you that it was easy to even get to the place I am now. I'm not where I want to be. I'm not fully played out yet, but I tell you, it does get greater later, and it gets better with time. Because as you begin to take the stairs to heaven, I call it climbing the stairway to heaven. Y'all remember the OJ's climbing the stairway to heaven? I might have to play that today. That's how it felt. You take each one of those steps, and sometimes you don't see the next step. Sometimes you be looking for the step, pressing it like, God, where the step at? God, I don't see the step. God, I don't even feel it. And sometimes it just means stay on that one step until I tell you, till you can see or feel the next step. But as you climb it, I call it, as you operating in your gifts or moving into that space, as you climb the stairway to heaven, our God is so good. The Creator is so amazing. It's simply bringing tears to my eyes. Because as you walk this journey, there are always these signs. There's always these little signs that will come to say, you're on the right path. Even though when you can't see it. Even when you can't pay your mortgage. Even when you don't know how you're going to do the IRS, even when you can't see it in your marriage, even when your children are going on a path that you say, now, God, what in the world? There's always this warmth, this sign, this reminder that the universe does that says, I got you. I got you, babe. If you just get still, it will remind you. In the midst of your storm, in your divine storm, you'll just feel this warmth in the center when you get centered. It's something about the center. Even in the eye of a storm, if you ever watch a storm, if you ever study storm and look at the storm, it's in the center that there's peace. Isn't it interesting how everything kind of mimics everything in life? So even in your own personal storm, if you just get centered, there's peace in the storm. There's peace in the eye of the storm. That center, there's peace. And when you get in that eye, when you get into the peace presence, you recognize that no matter how chaotic it seems, no matter how chaotic it feels, no matter how chaotic it looks, there's this warmth, this peace that God sends us signs that says, I got you. I got you in this storm, baby. Don't worry if you can't fly. I'll hold you up until you can fly for yourself. Don't worry, baby. I got somebody to send to you on your storm that's going to remind you that your presence is a blessing to the planet. You see, I'm going to remind you that no matter how it may look, you're still my greatest miracle on the planet. No matter how it may feel today, you're still my greatest miracle on the planet. And see, I'll take that mess and make a message. I'll take your test and take it into a testimony. I'll even take your ordinary and make it extraordinary. I'll even take your peace and make a masterpiece. That's how cold I am. When you can't, I will, until you can do it as me, expressing me on the planet. You see, something powerful happens when you stay true to the game of God. The game of the heavens, the game of the universe, however you see this eternal loving presence, when you stay true to the game of God. That's a new title for a book, ain't it, y'all? Staying true to the game of God. You see, I love myself more and more every day. I love myself because where I come from and where I came from and where I am today. You know, growing up in the streets of Chicago, around hustlers, players, and pimps. You know, my language is what it is because of that. But my ability to negotiate comes from my ability to understand people, and it comes from being in the streets of Chicago, unprotected, not knowing a lot of stuff, but being able to hear my inner self enough to know how to stay protected. You see, being a little girl in the streets of Chicago, it ain't no easy feat. Because there's so many people who prey on the weak, ready to take a young girl, a young, beautiful girl, and put her body on the street and sell her. You don't know how many people came up to me wanting to pimp me out. But see, I grew up with pimps, and I understood the game, and I understood that was not a game that I wanted to do. And maybe that was just a gift of protection from God. But I figured if I had a cold mind, I could get what I need just by using my mind. That's what I always told myself. I didn't have to sell my body. I just need to use my mind. These are things I'm saying to myself at 13 and 14 years old. I can navigate it, I kept telling myself. You can win because you're a winner. But that's because growing up here in Chicago in the streets. But what I learned is that life is always happening for us and not to us. At one time in my life when everything fell apart, I didn't understand how to and why I was in and where I went. And I wanted to blame my upbringing, see if I had a mother, if I had a father, somebody, I could have been this better person. But what God told me, there's no better person than what you are right now. You needed to be who you are. You see, when you took over the corporation and you ran 5 offices for Chicago Housing Authority, it was your understanding from your street knowledge that gave you the ability to motivate and move people who had been through some of the same things that you've been through and become number one in your field. And I remember a janitor walking up to me in Chicago Housing Authority. And I used to come in and, you know, I speak to everybody. Hey, his name was James. Hey, James, how you doing today? And I would walk up to him every time I came to the Chicago Housing Authority. And every time I walked in, I would speak to the security, and his name was Bob. And one day I was walking in and I was speaking to the CEO of Chicago Housing Authority. His name was Terry Peterson. Hey, Terry Peterson, how you doing today? And, you know, I would speak to him. And then James walked up to me and Bob walked up to me one day and said, you know, you're an interesting kind of person. So why you say that? I didn't even take any notice to him. He said, you speak to us the same way you speak to the president of this corporation, the CEO. I said, well, it really isn't no difference. He just happened to be the CEO, but he's still like you are. We all the same. He said, but do you know how many people come in here and put their nose up at us? And then when Terry Peterson walk in, they smiling. Terry Peterson. I was like, oh. Well, what I learned about myself in that right now moment, it came from being in the street, trying to figure out how to eat, how I'm going to get 50 cents so I could go buy a bag of fries at the liquor store. Because you could buy a bag of fries for 50 cents, get some salt and ketchup and some hot sauce, and I was good to go.
I remember my little niece ran up to me and told me, "We learned about Jesus today." And I could tell by her smile she was so excited to learn about this man that she did not quite know yet, but she knew without a doubt for it to be true, because after all, Mommy said so. And that was the first time in my life that I looked into the eyes of a child and envied them, because she had no idea of what it feels like to doubt. I remember my little niece ran up to me and told me, "We learned about Jesus today." And I could tell by her smile she was so excited to learn about this man that she did not quite know yet, but she knew without a doubt for it to be true, because after all, Mommy said so. And that was the first time in my life that I looked into the eyes of a child.